Welcome to the Inspired Culture. I'm your host, Eric Himes. In today's world, many organizations talk about people being their greatest asset. But when you look closely, HR often feels more like a rule book than a relationship. Too often, policies overshadow people. Joining me today is someone who's changing that narrative, Erica Butler, CEO of HIHR LLC. Erica brings her Fortune 100 experience to small and mid-sized organizations, helping them humanize HR and build cultures where empathy and accountability work hand in hand. She's also a certified DISC coach, intelligence expert, helping teams across cultures work better together. Erica, thank you for joining and welcome to the Inspired Culture. Let's begin with this challenge. HR can become mechanical and compliance-driven, forgetting that it's about humans, not handbooks. Erica, the audience would love to hear from you. Why do so many organizations let HR become purely procedural, losing the connection to real people's lives?
Absolutely. What I've witnessed firsthand is fear of compliance, of employment law, and then you get into this pattern of rigidness and you forget that the employment handbook is a living, breathing document that you can ask your employees feedback on and you can evolve with. Of course, we want to follow employment laws, but there's so much that we can listen to our employees about and improve in our handbooks, policies. It really is can be a two-way street in a lot of ways. So fear should not keep us from including our employees in the process.
No, that is so true. Keeping the employees involved in the process is really important. How do you suggest organizations could do that differently than how they're doing it today?
Sure. So the biggest thing that works is ensuring you have two-way feedback in place. And many organizations we've seen do not. So it's not rocket science, but it's as simple as monthly focus groups, employee anonymous box they can give feedback to, pulse surveys, a yearly employee engagement survey. You get so much information this way where employees do not have to put their name to it, but can share anonymously, and you can really shape employment handbooks, policies to meet your team where they're at, what they're looking for, and be an employer of choice.
No, I like that. The engagement is really, really important, and having that community for two-way feedback. I like what you said there, because everybody's a living, breathing part of the organization, and the impacts are real on all levels that people have, no matter the role, position, or the work that they do. So for an organization that maybe hasn't led this way for a while, how do you help leaders reintroduce humanity into HR so the policies serve people and not the other way around, outside of including them in the conversation?
Sure. So there's just some easy litmus checks we could do. So one, do we have open door policy? Two, are the leaders and the HR walking the floor? Three, do we have the two-way communication, right? And if we don't know what employees are thinking, how can we incorporate them in all of these things? And not only is it better for, you will see turnover drop, you will see employee performance go up, employees more engaged, but you actually recruit a lot more talent that way. One company we put this into place had 100% offers accepted in 1 year. That doesn't happen, but there's just so many spillover effects from doing it this way. It's really powerful.
That's amazing. That's a big impact. Open doors, HR walking the floor, leaders walking the floor, creating that space of engagement. It's really important because we know how many tasks that we all have as leaders in the organization on a day-to-day basis, which most of the time they're not relational. And so I love that you're creating this relational space to happen within organizations. And so a question I have around that is, can you share a time when you changed an HR process to make it more empathetic? And what difference did that have and make?
Yes, I have many I could share, but one of my favorites is the team was asking for more flexible arrangements. They had to work typical, 8 to 5 type jobs in office, had to wear professional outfits, all of this, but they weren't customer facing. So just in getting to know them, talking to them, they were like, it would make such a difference in our lives if we had a little more flexibility, even if we could wear jeans to work. So I was fortunate to work with a great group of leaders and provide this feedback. We completely changed the dress code to make it more comfortable at work. They were so excited. And then also we rolled out flexible work options. We gave them customer service, to give an example. They didn't have technology to even do that, but we made it possible through the technology available. We made a schedule for them. We gave them processes, and it just impacted their engagement levels, and their turnover dropped from 14% to 7% throughout the organization.
Wow.
Yes. Like, these are hard numbers that we saw. I'll never forget that MBR was part of where I could present these numbers. Even the internal promotions doubled because people were so engaged. They were getting promoted. They were, instead of hiring outside, we were hiring internally because people were just showing up, doing so well and so excited they were listened to, and that the leaders were actually bringing results to what they were asking for. It was amazing to be part of.
That's awesome. So I heard that if you hear your people and engage them in the process, what happens is you build a bench of leaders ready to go, and you have opportunities to promote within and keep your IP as an organization. I think that's really brilliant.
People don't want to leave. They see themselves there longer, so they're going to show up and do new roles because they feel heard and they want to stay at a place like that, right? It seems common sense, but many miss out on this.
Yeah, so true. It is common sense. You know, the thing that removes common sense out of the equation, I believe, is busyness. The busier we are, focused on the things that we believe we have to accomplish, usually the first thing missed is the relationship and the time that it takes to foster that. Just like any new opportunity, any new policy that you're working on, we invest so much to create and develop things, but the one thing that gets lost is the person. And we never take time to do that. And so you're highlighting that this organization saw their people and said, we're going to put our investment in our people first.
Absolutely.
That's amazing. And when you share your story about that, what would you say were the key ingredients and the role that you played in your organization played to help bring that to light for people to see it?
Sure. This was actually at a Fortune 100 company. And to be fair, there was a lot of doubt at first because this was never really done before in this part of the organization. And it took a lot of working with the leaders and showing them why they could. There's fear, right? There's fear when you give people that much flexibility when they never had it. Are results going to drop? Are they not going to show up to work? Are they going to be messing around at home? You know what I mean? This is real concerns leaders have. So it didn't happen overnight. It was working very closely with the leadership team of that organization and getting their buy-in one by one of why this was important to the team, why this would work. It actually took months, 9 months to be exact, to get the full buy-in. But once we had the full buy-in, we were all on the same page and it was rolled out together throughout the whole organization. And I think that's so important because many new rollouts like this, not all of the leaders are on board. And if they're not all on board, will cause it to not be successful. But in that case, every one of them, through the process and working with them, collaborating, building a process they were comfortable with, they were on board, every one of them. And that's what made it successful. So I think as HR leaders, those that are in this space need to think about, if you have one or two that are not, you have to put the work in, the time in to build that relationship, give the data points, show why. And then when you get everyone on board, there's a lot higher chance it will be successful. That part's important.
I like that. And getting everybody on board is so important. You know, no matter what size organization you are, Fortune 100, Fortune 500, small business, you know, to a global organization, the one thing that doesn't change is that your people are really important. And those that see it have the best opportunity to leverage and develop their people to grow them into the best leaders they possibly can. And they win, and the organization wins too. And, you know, one of the sentiments that you shared, which is a deep passion of mine as well, is that leaders today, you have the opportunity to lead differently. It's your choice. Nobody else gets to make the decision for you but you. Leadership has been caught from generation to generation. And what Eric is talking about today is a new way to lead differently, the whole person that's showing up to work. And the thing that's exciting about that is it's something new for us all to learn and try out. We have to recognize the historical way to lead gets us one outcome. And it's gotten us to where we're at today, but it's not the right ingredients today to get us to where we need to go tomorrow. So, Erica, I really appreciate you sharing that. We're going to be right back. And up next, Erica's going to share why leadership development often feels superficial and how to turn it into true transformation. We'll be right back. Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We're back with more on the Inspired Culture. Welcome back. I'm here with Erica Butler, and we're shifting gears to leadership development. Many companies invest heavily in leadership programs, but too often these programs feel like events, not transformation. Erica's here to share how real leadership growth happens in the flow of everyday work. Erica, welcome back to the show. And our topic today for the group and the viewers is leadership programs often fail because they're episodic, not embedded in real daily practice. So one of the questions for our viewers is, why do many leadership programs fail to change behavior in the long run?
Absolutely. What I witnessed is many times these programs are one day and then that is it. And there's not ongoing accountability. It's not pulled into everything else throughout the year. So it gets lost. It's one day of momentum, might be encouraging, inspiring, but then what? No book study, no performance reviews, no accountability. And then it gets lost. So that's the biggest thing, making a plan to carry it through after that big day of momentum and that investment the company makes.
You know, it's so exciting to go to a full day workshop or a half day workshop. Everybody's getting fed. It's like you almost take a vacation from work, right? To go into this new land of learning and education. And you're like, oh my gosh, all of these principles I'm learning right now, I want to apply them all. You know, and these workshops are usually on a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday. The weekend hits and they come back on Monday and it's the same grind and we just forgot everything we learned the previous week. You're so right, Erica, in the story that you paint. What are some of the things that you feel that can embed leadership learning into daily work so growth becomes part of doing, not separate from doing?
Sure. So I've been part of leadership training for almost 10 years in our company, 7, where we get to build programs and execute them. And almost every client we work with chooses to follow up with an active leadership book study. In the leadership training we do, we infuse it into their performance reviews, into their performance management systems. It's customized to what they're doing to elevate what they're doing already and make sure it is carried throughout the months and years. So there's two things I want to talk about, but the one is actually the communication plans. If a company is not doing, you know, daily huddles, one-on-ones, weekly team meetings, it might sound, again, simple, but these practices really matter. And it's just works for the most successful companies are doing this. And development should always be a part of that. And then the second thing is if a company is not encouraging and bringing a culture of feedback through peers, not just leaders should be giving feedback, but the peers in leadership groups, every level should have peer feedback and encourage that. That elevates everybody. It normalizes it, makes it easier. And then even when you have to give feedback to your team members and help them grow, you're more comfortable because you're already doing that with your peers. It's invited and it's powerful.
That I couldn't agree more. The vulnerability required to grow as a leader in organizations, which what you're talking about is allowing a strong feedback loop to take place. And for that to be something common in the workplace makes it really easy to remove blind spots because you have people from an empathetic standpoint providing the care to care enough about somebody else to say, hey, I wanted you to notice this. And I'm not sure if you've seen it, but I have, and I wanted to share some feedback with you. Would it be okay? Because I want to help you grow and thrive in the position and the role that you're in right now. I so believe in that.
Yeah, most people will welcome that. Most people. And especially when how you said it. You said it so well, Eric. I want to see you thrive and grow. It's because I care. It's not always fun giving feedback, but that's how much you care that you're willing to make yourself uncomfortable and risk your relationship even to that extent. It is that sometimes because you care that much about the other person. And those are the people you want to keep close to you, by the way, the ones that are willing to risk that and be uncomfortable to give you feedback. That is a good colleague. That is someone to keep close.
That really is, right? I mean, those are the quality people because they're going to be speaking truth into your life and helping you continue to refine and grow every day.
Yeah, that's who I want in my friendship table, I'm telling you. They're just the best people you'll ever meet, and you'll only grow together.
Yeah, and you know, that's funny, the friendship table. Not everybody gets a seat at the table, and there's requirements for you to have a seat.
Yeah, that's true.
I love it. So, can you share an instance with us, Erica, where a leadership initiative you led produced real sustained transformation, not just surface change?
Sure. I had a really awesome opportunity to, our company was hired by a Fortune 100 to come into their biggest warehouse network and meet weekly with the leaders. They were a very successful running warehouse previously, but because of a lot of reasons, which would take probably 30 minutes to talk about. They were missing deadlines, shipping very important materials to clients. And they asked us to come in and we led these coaching sessions weekly with the leaders, the key leaders, as well as helping them just understand where are the gaps and why, and like hear them out what was going on. And after 3 months of that, the whole warehouse turned around. They were able to meet deadlines again, get the motivation they needed. And as it was as simple as hearing them out and addressing their concerns, there was new leadership leading that and just wasn't happening. And to come in and do that and be part of that, the leaders, we got feedback. They're like, why? We don't want you guys to leave. We know we're hitting our goals now, but we wish we could still have this. And it just shows, Eric, the importance of leaders listening, just sitting and listening and giving people a place to vent and to talk about the challenges and then actively addressing them. It's so powerful. Those simple things, if you're doing that, you will have a thriving organization. I truly believe that, but it doesn't happen sometimes.
You're right, Erica. You know, humility comes to mind. Leaders that want to grow have to be humble. And the hardest person to lead is yourself. And so you have to have somebody else with eyes to see to be able to invest into each individual on the team at all levels to help them grow and develop. And that's what you're saying here. And then the people don't want you to leave because they know you're the invaluable tool that you're providing to them, which you just described. You know, we could be thriving, but that's not the end of our growth, right? A growth journey never ends because perspective is always shifting. We're always seeing more. And there's so much more to understand about ourselves and who we're leading. And so I really appreciate the sentiment behind what you shared there.
And those leaders cared a lot and they wanted to be developed. They wanted to be heard and developed. And when you give people that, man, they're just not going to leave. People crave that, to be known and to be grown. And when you can do that, it's endless. The possibilities are endless. I've seen it time and time again.
It's so true. So one question before we run to the break, how can leaders measure whether their development efforts are really helping people lead better, not just look better?
Sure. So there's a test you can give yourself if you're doing these things and you know, then you're an all-star leader or you have some work to do. We all have work to do, but here as an HR person working with large companies, we always look for these things. Leaders who are exporters of talent. They are developing people actively and people are getting promoted out of their team. That's a sign of an excellent leader. Two, their team stays. They have very little turnover. People want to be on their team. They want to work with this leader. Three, they have very quick fill of positions. When they have a position open, there is a list of people following this leader and team that want to join. When you have leaders like that, it really stands out. And those are the top leaders that are killing it in the leadership game. On the flip side, just to give this piece to think about, if you have a leader who their team is missing training deadlines, their team is, you know, you're the HR person having to be like, hey, is your team going to complete this? You're over the deadline. That's a red flag. You know, signs like that. That's just one example of many I could share. But exporters of talent, those are the top leaders really changing the game for the organization.
You know, the leadership team is always graded by retention and the development of other leaders and what, you know, having a bench of people that want to just jump right in. And so I couldn't agree more with you, Erica, and what you're sharing about that and what really shows a leader and how they invest in their people. They're not the bottleneck. Their team is the opportunity.
Absolutely.
To grow and get better.
Yes.
So, Erica, for leaders or HR professionals who want to explore this deeper, where can they find you and learn more about your programs at HIHR?
Sure. So we're very active on our website. It's gohire.com, G-O-H-I-H-R.com. And then also on LinkedIn, we're very active. So you can look us up at HIHR. Just type that in LinkedIn and we'll come up and we'd be glad to answer comments and connect with people, love to collaborate and meet new people online and pull them into what we're doing.
Excellent. Thanks, Erica. And up next, we'll talk about something every leader struggles with, giving and receiving feedback without fear.
We'll be right back.
Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. I'm continuing my conversation with Erica Butler, and this segment, we're diving into one of the most difficult yet powerful parts of leadership, feedback. For many people, feedback feels risky, like walking on glass. Erica helps teams turn feedback into fuel for growth instead of fear. So we're going to talk about leaders avoiding honest feedback to protect relationships, creating cultures of silence instead of improvement. Erica, welcome back. And one of the questions that we have for our audience today is, why do so many leaders avoid honest feedback even when people crave it?
Such an important topic. And I've sat with many leaders over the years who truly had stomach aches over this, lost sleep over this, of important feedback they had to give. And what I find is it's because they care so much about the team, they don't want to hurt people's feelings. Comes down to that a lot, fear of that. It's very hard. But also what I found globally, we are part of the in U.S. Western world, U.S. Mexico for Now Media. And we are very polite in the way we communicate. We kind of can dance around things. We're a little fluffy compared to other parts of the world. For example, when we say not really, I was speaking with a diplomat literally over the weekend, and they're like, that means no. I'm like, yeah, not really means no. Interesting. That means not so good. You know, like we say these fluff words in the US and it's why I think because we don't want to offend. We want to be polite. We don't want to offend. We're so careful to offend. But in that we actually hurt the other person. We hurt ourselves because we're not being direct and honest and people leave a conversation not knowing what really is going on in the truth. So I guess I just encourage our leaders, our business to, as hard as it is, to be direct, make sure people understand the feedback because you gain so much from that. But I think these are the reasons why it's so hard culturally, as well as we care so much about other people's feelings and hurting them. Though in the long run, it's better for them to have the truth.
Certainly. You know, and something to add to that, because I really love feedback and I think it's so important, is have you ever looked in the rearview mirror of feedback? Meaning the life that you've walked, the path that you've traveled, the number of leaders that you've engaged with over your career. How many of them truly took the time to give you real feedback? And the others that wanted to be your friend instead? Because they were afraid to give you the words and the fuel you needed to be successful in your position because they thought it might hurt the relationship.
I love that. I love that you're asking that. Everybody should ask themselves that. I'll tell you very simply for me, the ones that did are still in my life. The ones that didn't, not in a bad way, I don't have anything against them, but they're not. Because the ones that did walked with me and they cared that much about me to make themselves uncomfortable, they're still in my life.
It's so important because they took a value interest in you and they chose to risk everything to see you grow. And those that didn't aren't around anymore. And it's because, you know, a lot of times feedback develops trust. And when it's not there authentically, it erodes it and there's no confidence in the relationship because we all know we're not perfect and we all need guiding words to help us grow.
I think that's the biggest miss when we choose not to give feedback is you're missing out on an opportunity to build real trust with someone. Even if they don't take it or like it at first, most times a professional person who wants to grow is going to come, or not even professional, someone who just cares about their life and their growth is going to come back and say thank you and build trust and take you as a real friend most times. It's worth the risk. And those are the people you want around you anyway. If you're someone that wants to grow and make an impact.
Absolutely. It's so true. It's not the easy things that grow you. That's comfort. The hard things are uncomfortable that create the most growth possible.
It will be hard. You know, this just came up to mind. I keep this by me all the time. But I work with a group called Entrepreneurs Organization, 17,000 strong around the world, amazing group of entrepreneurs. The first thing on their list of their Rockefeller habits of like what works in executing a successful multi-million dollar business. Team members understand each other's differences, priorities, and styles. And then the other piece is the team is able to engage in constructive debates and all members feel comfortable participating. That's the top. If you don't have that, how are you going to grow? Like, this is like best practice here. So if we're not doing this, we won't grow and we won't build successful businesses. So this is like people who are really successful living this. Can't say it enough. So I'm all in, as hard as it is.
I love it. Well, words shared correctly are the most refreshing, refining ingredients to not only be watered, but to grow and, you know, knock off some of the areas that we need to let go of, right? In our own journeys of what we've experienced through past leaders, we've carried those tools, healthy or unhealthy, knowing or not knowing, you know, we're equipped with what we have today. It doesn't mean that we have all the right tools, and it doesn't mean that we have to grow and develop new tools in our leadership for today.
Absolutely.
So, Erica, tell us, what conditions help make feedback feel safe, constructive, and respectful rather than threatening?
There's a few things I always practice, and I'm going to speak an example, like not worst case, but when there's a performance problem and you have to address it as a leader, because that's one of the most challenging conversations. Always starting with, how do you think it's going? And then give that person a chance. Because as a leader, you don't want to be guessing. You want to know, where are they at? Maybe they know they're struggling or there's gaps in performance. Like, ask them first. If you're noticing a gap right away, ask them first. And then also, as a leader, are you asking your team for feedback regularly? What can I do better to serve you? What can I do better to lift you? What gaps do I have? Because it makes it a lot easier when you're getting feedback also to give feedback. So these are just a few little tips that I think make this whole thing easier. And then there is a path, like talking about a tough conversation of performance. What processes do you have in place that are fair? So if there is a problem performer, coaching them and saying, hey, this is a problem. These are what I'm seeing. This is how we can get better together. Then if it doesn't get better, a first warning, a second, a final. And the reason I say that, no one should ever be shocked. If someone is shocked by your feedback, that is a red flag. If someone's shocked by a warning, that is a red flag that you're not giving them enough feedback, enough warning to help them be successful. So I could go on and on about this topic, but those are a few tips that work really well.
Oh, those are all wonderful tips. And I appreciate you sharing those, Erica. You know, when you say that, what comes up for me about it is that open line of communication to engage with those employees. And the other thing that I think about when you say that is a leader, we have to remember, no matter how much we love the person and we want to see them succeed and we see their potential, and yet, you know, it's through a tough conversation that needs to happen, our job is to help them get unstuck, but we can never do their work for them. They have to want to grow, and not everybody does, and that's okay, but our job as leaders, I believe, is to help them see the work in front of them and to help them see the value of them investing and doing something hard, because the reward on the other end is so much greater.
And you tell them all that throughout the discussion, exactly what you're saying, Eric. You tell them the why, and that's the why. And that really helps get people to the other side many times. So I love that. I love what you just shared.
Thanks, Erica. And can you share a time when feedback changed someone's trajectory because it was delivered with care and clarity?
Sure. I had an employee on my team and superstar, truly hard worker, very successful, even was getting promoted. And we found myself and a couple other leaders just once in a while was being negative and was putting down the things we were trying to do, little backhanded comments. And it just wasn't productive in what we were working towards. And we felt like it was probably due to maybe a lack of confidence because they did get promoted early and they were newer to the field. So I sat down with the individual and gave them the direct feedback about what was happening, what I was witnessing, my concerns about it. They got very emotional because it was hard because they did care so much, but they listened, they processed, and a few days later they came back and said, thank you so much. That really impacted me and I needed to hear that. And I do think it's because I'm scared because I'm so newly promoted. I'm out of my comfort zone, so it's easier for me to say these negative digs. It just helps me, but I don't want to be like that. And I don't want to impact the team this way. Fast forward, this person's leading multiple people in HR leadership, doing amazing, amazing things. So I was even nervous for that conversation because I cared so much, because you do. I'm a human person like all of us. And I'm just so glad I did it and it was received. And this person, I believe, thrived because of it. You know, we just saw the growth from that individual, the accountability. It was really ended up being a beautiful thing. I think we really helped them.
That's a great story, Erica, and well done, by the way.
Thank you.
I love that. I think about, what do people need to hear? You know, and I think the most vulnerable or high risk failures is newly promoted people that actually haven't been a leader before or are really taking a big jump in their leadership from one position to the next. And the story that comes up for me that they have to listen to and believe is, and be told, don't fake it until you make it. Because the reality is that you haven't done this before, and we all know this. But we're here to help you grow in this and be successful, because I think that creates a space of not an overconfidence, but it requires a humility to say, I'm here because my leadership sees the potential and I need to grow into that. It's not that I've arrived and I am that. And because I feel like that's such a big challenge for young leaders getting in new roles because they see everybody else having it all together. But the reality is none of us have it all together. You know, we're all learning and growing at different seasons of life and what we're in. And so I really appreciate you sharing that story. That triggered that thought for me.
Permission to be new. I literally used this to myself recently in a new project I'm doing, permission to be new, because we all start somewhere and you're not going to stretch if you don't give yourself permission to be new at that next thing. And we should make sure our new people promote it, have that feedback and say, it's okay, give yourself 6 months at least. And that's normal. You know, I think we need to have that conversation with people when they're new. And ourselves as well, by the way, or we're not going to go for the new stuff. It's okay to be new and to suck a little in the beginning. You're going to learn. You're going to get better. You have to start somewhere.
That's right. And the thing is, the key is getting started and recognizing it's an inch-by-inch opportunity. We're not running sprints to finish a marathon. We're running a marathon, and it takes a little while to get through. But it's okay.
If it's something you want to do and it's something you want to work towards, it's okay to be new. You know, you're going to grow month by month from there. And it's amazing. You look back a few years, you can't even believe what is possible. You know, because you're doing it and living it.
I love it's okay to be new, by the way. That's a great statement. So what practices or structures can ensure feedback isn't random or shocking, but part of a regular growth rhythm?
Yes, absolutely. If you are running a team or business and you don't have regular one-on-ones, best practice, get them in place as soon as possible and in them feedback. Also weekly team meetings where we encourage feedback. So, you know, we could talk a lot about all that, but that is the number one. If it's not happening, get that in process and you'll see a quick change and improvement.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, Erica. We're going to run to a break. And coming up is how to bring your organization's vision to life when it feels distant or impossible.
We'll be right back.
Stay connected to the Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. Don't miss a second of this show or any of your Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual in both English and Spanish. The Inspired Culture, anytime, anywhere on Now Media TV and at our website at www.nowmedia.tv, covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, culture, and more. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. As we close today's conversation, Erica and I are talking about one of the hardest challenges for leaders, keeping the vision alive. When the daily pressures pile up, vision can start to feel distant, even impossible. But Erica's work proves that big change happens through small, consistent human actions. So the topic that many leaders want to hear about is many leaders lose focus on their vision amidst day-to-day chaos, leaving teams disconnected from purpose. Erica, welcome back. And why do leaders sometimes lose sight of their vision under daily pressure?
Sure. It is very easy for this to happen. You might lose a client. A zillion things. And you see your vision so clearly, but then you're putting out fires. And anytime you're trying to do something big, there will be challenges and hard things that you have to overcome. And sometimes the grind is just exhausting at times. People give up and you are the one to keep leading it forward. So I do think it's the daily push, the humanness of it all, the fires we have to put out. It can really get you sidetracked sometimes if you don't have good people around you to keep pointing you in the right direction.
So what does it take to build good people around you?
Yeah, so I think it's so important to have a mentor or two. Though, like, I literally have a monthly accountability group I spend 4 hours with who are also building a multi-plus million-dollar business. And they literally help me. And we just share our struggles and, like, what's hard, what's good. And just having a space for that is really a game changer. That's one example, but I could share many.
The struggle is real.
It's true. No matter how successful someone is or where they're at, it's just part of it. It's the grind. It's part of it.
It is. It really is. And we welcome the challenge, all of us listening in, and just the encouraging words from Erica, you know, putting things in place and getting those encouragers around you. So on those days where you feel like you can't keep going, you have a group of people to lift you up and send you on your way.
Absolutely. Celebrating the wins is important too. I think finding those wins and celebrating along the way and just enjoying the journey, by the way, and looking how far you come, those things are gold.
That's so good. So how do you help people translate a big vision into small, meaningful, everyday steps?
In this, I have to share one of my favorite books called The E-Myth, Why Small Businesses Fail and What to Do About It. And there's two reasons: finances and how we manage our time. So there's so many more daily practices, but we need to manage our finances so diligently, as well as our time. You don't want to be working 80 hours on your business and become that's your life. You started the business to have some say, some flexibility, some, you know, just to be your own boss, all these great things. So those are two things that with our clients, we just rally around making sure they're really good. But then it's breaking down the big goals into little goals. So the group I work with, again, EO, we have quarterly focuses. We name the year what the focus is. Mine is new deals. Then we literally break it down quarter by quarter, what it takes to get there. So you have the big vision in hand, the yearly goals, and then break it up month by month to meet the quarterly. And you literally do bits, like you said, like in bite sizes to get there. And don't forget about finance and time management, because those are the two things that will get you. So you have to prioritize those every single day, truly.
That's really, really good. And for the listeners, if you had one key, like, trick that you have, or one strategic move, more or less, about how you focus and bringing your vision to life, what would that be?
So a game changer for me, I've been doing it about a year now, are the top three. Because there's so much that crosses my plate as a mother and building this business. And we have a team of about 10 people. Three things. And if I get those three things done, even if I didn't get everything done, it's a win. I prioritize night before morning. I check in. If those three things are done, I go to bed and I feel good. And that has been so freeing and so what matters most. Like, calling that out and then doing those three things, it's really life-changing for me.
Yeah, predetermining your day. I love it. You know what you need to accomplish the night before. You're ready, set, and you hit the day running.
And what you don't get done, you do that. Then that comes one of the three the next day. It's really powerful.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's why I'll never quit. Like you and I talked about, we're in it for life. We're lifers. And because of my three, I know I can do it.
Yes, you can. You know, and that's a huge vision for you. For those listeners listening in, Erica's never going to retire. Either am I. We're committed to the vision and the calling that's been placed on our lives to help change the world and bring a new holistic way to life in leadership at home and at work, really bringing that balance. And Erica demonstrates that through her organization each and every day. She lives it out as the CEO, as the leader, and really inspires her clients to follow that same vision that she has to teach that in their organizations too. You know, Erica, I know we've come to our end, but before we go, is there anything that you'd like to share with the audience?
I want to share that this really is possible. I've watched so much of Eric's content and what he's doing, and I align with it so much. I think it's possible to, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy, but you can build a life you love with your find out your passion in life, making an impact, helping people, put good people around you, be there for your family. I just think Eric is amazing, and keep following his show, keep following what he's doing, his amazing newsletter. And I want to be part of all of it, and I believe in it. And we're in 7 years, but like I said, we're just beginning. And that's why I will commit my life to this work, because so many people are hurting and they're living life in such a chaotic way. It doesn't have to be that way. It really doesn't. And yeah, you can live the life you want and have a beautiful life on this planet. I believe that. So Eric, thank you for even opening the conversation to this and giving me a safe place to share my heart about all of this.
You bet, Erica. And you're rare in your leadership, and it's such been an honor to have you on the show today. I'm grateful to get to know you, and I look forward to future conversations together. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for everything. Take care.